Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
We are brought to you by Oska Wellness, by Tough Man Tri Series. Run Catalina.com, Catalina Eco Marathon coming up on Saturday, November 19th. By our Challenged Athletes Foundation, where we have now raised over $80 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville.com, on iTunes, and definitely subscribe to our newsletter. Our guest in studio, Helen Jenkins, who has been to three Olympics. Helen, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I love having you in studio. Thanks so much for doing that. Now, do you guys spend much time training here in San Diego?
Oh, I love San Diego. I'd probably spend all year here if I could. But the first time I came out properly to train was in 2012 for the race in San Diego. And my husband, Mark, has a great friend that lives in the Encinitas area. So we've been coming out every year to visit him and his family and do a bit of training.
Love that. And so you started out in Wales and you started swimming. Swimming was the first sport?
Yeah, swimming. I was swimming up until about the age of 15, 16, and then started doing triathlon. But I wasn't a great swimmer. I was, you know, I was not hugely competitive, but I took it very seriously.
So you're training with the daughter of the Welsh triathlon coach.
That's right, yeah.
So, and they're looking for athletes.
Yeah, it was really just being in the right place at the right time. It was really sort of basic talent ID. And I know we spend, in the UK, we spend a lot of money kind of doing talent ID and, you know, it's working. We've got a great system. But mine was pretty much hit and miss. And I was lucky to be in the right place at the right time. And Chris Goulden, his name was, and he became my first coach. And he still coaches now, you know, just off his own back. He doesn't get paid for it. He loves the sport.
So in those first races, did you have success right away?
a little bit, yeah. I was doing okay. I was a better triathlete than I was swimmer, but it wasn't as competitive back then. And
right.
You look at the junior fields, like today, I saw the juniors racing Cozumel. And
it's crazy.
Yeah, they're mini elites. They're mini pro triathletes. And it really wasn't like that when I first started, especially not in the UK. It was just a bit, I suppose, a bit more gentle. I think there was only like seven of us actually racing at the time. So I had a bit of success, and I think that success spurred me on to get me into it.
So British junior champion 2003, elite champ 2006, and you're two-time world champion, right? Two-time IT world champion. So was the goal once you start winning junior, when you start winning the junior championships, did you start thinking, well, wait a second, maybe I can make the 2008 Olympic team?
I think it was always a dream to go to the Olympics.
Yeah.
And from a young age, I remember watching the swimming, really, and I was like, oh, I want to be an Olympic swimmer. And you get to like 15, 16. And you're, like,
you're going, and it isn't going to happen.
Yeah, this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think once I started doing well at triathlon, I think I was like, I could make this a career. And I actually trained in the same swimming club as my husband, Mark, and he was a professional triathlete. So from a younger age, I knew that people could be professional triathletes.
And make a living.
So I was thinking, yeah, I started earning a bit of money, like in some small races. And I think the dream of the Olympics as well. So
what was that experience when you went to Beijing in 2008?
Beijing was amazing. I think the biggest thing in Beijing was qualifying. I'd missed a year in 2007. I think I did one race in 2007.
Injury.
I had a huge amount of injuries. And at the end of 2007, I was actually told by the federation at the time that they didn't think I was going to make the Olympics and it was probably my career was over. And I wasn't allowed in any of the selection races for the next year. Yeah, it was just, I had fallen so far down on sort of our ITU points list. It was like standing at the bottom of a mountain and thinking, how am I going to get this? So with Mark's help, we kind of, we figured out a way for me to go. I had to start racing in January in Chile, in Argentina. And then
the hard part about that is just getting starts at those races, right?
Yeah, so I had to start like at the points races in the South American points races. I got points there to qualify to get into the World Cups. We raced three World Cups consecutive weekends to get points to get into the World Cup, which was the selection race. And I actually ended up coming second in the selection race and and qualified to go to the Olympics.
Did you surprise your coaches or surprise the coaches of the team?
I did surprise the coaches of the team.
Yeah. I bet you did.
I think they were pretty surprised. So I think for Beijing, I think that is still one of the proudest moments of my career, actually crossing that finish line and qualifying for the Olympics, because it had been such a battle to actually get there.
Well, and then, so in 2006, you had an Achilles injury.
Achilles, yeah.
And then 2007 was an ankle.
It was still the Achilles.
It was Achilles.
My biomechanics were pretty terrible, and they're still always. I still look a little bit funny when I run, but I've got a bad back, which throws off a lot of things, throws off a lot of my biomechanics. So I've got so much stronger from that point. So I think I almost needed that injury to stop
to
me
start,
racing
to really work on.
Yeah,
your
so
technique.
I could work on it. Yeah.
So 21st at the 2008 Olympics. And then, obviously, the goal becomes the Olympics are coming to London in 2012.
Yeah, London was amazing. And London was so intense. I mean, I thought about the London Olympics almost every day from 2008. You know, once that was, you know, we knew that's what we were going for, and home Olympics. And I came into shape right at the right time. But unfortunately, got another injury just before the games.
So you had another injury right before the games.
Yeah, I had a great 2011.
Yes.
I became world champion.
I
had a really, really good winter, and I was training really well. I had probably my best race, one of the best races I've ever had in San Diego in 2012.
I remember watching you win there.
Yeah, I mean, and we
dominated.
Oh my God! And I hadn't even started doing some of the harder training by that point, so we're like, this is amazing. And I actually went home, and I had a really bad injury. It was a knee injury. I couldn't walk for about a week.
Was it an overuse type of thing, or just did you crash?
It took a very long time to figure out, but it ended up being a back problem. It was all nerve-related.
Everything was tied to your
Everything
back.
Was nerve-related. And if I look over that winter from 2011 into 2012, there were a lot of warning signs, but you just don't put them all together until, you know, a year and a half later when we put out all the facts and we're trying to link it together to my back and you can work it out. But there were a lot of warning signs, but everything was going so well and you're so focused on an Olympics, you can push a lot of pain to the side and just get on with what you got to do.
Well, especially you're talking in the UK.
Yeah.
Did you have all your family there watching?
Yeah, they were all there. And I think if that race had been anywhere else, if it had been in Rio that year or it had been in Beijing, I wouldn't have come fifth. But with that level of support, and I get goosebumps when I think about that race. Like, the noise was incredible, just the people willing you on.
Yes.
I mean, I wouldn't have come fifth anywhere else. I mean, I shouldn't have come fifth. My fitness was, I'd barely run since May.
Really?
I think I had 2 weeks of decent training, and that's because we put so much cortisone, so much steroid into my knee just to get me through training for 2 weeks, and that was it. It was the worst build-up ever.
With everything you were dealing with, were you able to... You know, when you're dealing with a knee injury like that, obviously it's got to hurt when you're running. It's got to hurt when you're cycling. Did you just swim a ton?
Well, initially it hurt to swim as well.
Did it really?
Yeah,
everything. Oh, because everything's tied to your back.
Yeah, it was all nerve. So it did settle down a bit. It was mind over matter at that point. Really, it was just get through it.
From talking to people who raced in London, they talk about how it was so deafening, their ears were still ringing like the day after the race.
It was crazy. There was two spots where there was no people. When we ran over the bridge, there was no one there. And we had one of our coaches there who kept holding up little signs to try and make us laugh or encourage us. I'm not sure which one. And it was almost eerie because the silence just went dead. You know, it was just dead. And then there was this huge noise and it was unbelievable.
So that's one of the things when you know you haven't been able to do the preparation you want to do, getting fifth rather than thinking, oh, I didn't get on the podium, that's almost like a victory when you get in fifth knowing that you came in underprepared.
Yeah, I look back at it now and I'm very proud of it. Myself, the team around me, Mark, I work with a sports psychologist who's a really good friend of mine, Louise, and I don't think either of us would have got through that race without her. And so I'm proud of it. At the time, it was so disappointing, and it took a while to get over. You put so much of your life into something, and it doesn't happen. And I don't think I was bitter, but it took a long time to feel proud of it. And now I look back, and I remember the good stuff, like the crowd support, and the friends and the team we've gained from that experience.
So you look at Alistair and Johnny Brownlee. You look at Chrissy Wellington. You look at Julie Dibbins. I mean, there's, you've got a lot of amazing athletes that are coming out of the UK. What when the Olympics was going to be happening in London, there'd be become more of a concerted effort from the triathlon committee or the triathlon association in England to try to or the UK to make sure we have some athletes on the podium?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think in some sports you can do that and you'll come out with success. I think triathlon, you have to have a long period. You have to have that talent ID from a young age. It's not a quick sport, is it? It's not like you can just, you know, throw someone, you know, you've got these attributes, we're going to train you for 3 years and you'll be good. There's a lot around it. So, I mean, what we have in the UK is such a good support system for the, you know, for the lottery funded Olympic distance side of the program. We have amazing physiotherapists, strength and conditioning, and we have so much like great support. And I wouldn't be here now. I wouldn't have got through these last few years without our British Triathlon program. They've been brilliant. But it's, I think that does, that's the reason we have athletes that keep coming through. I mean, on the long distance side, it's, I don't know, it's just amazing. We have so many because they don't get all that same sort of Olympic support because the lottery funding is there for the Olympics.
For Olympics.
But yeah, I mean, there's just so many coming through, and like Rachel Joyce as well. And I really admire what Rachel's done. And it's just, yeah, so many.
So after 2012, did you immediately start thinking 2016, or after dealing with those injuries, were you thinking, do I really want to go for another cycle here?
To be honest, yeah. At the point, it was like, if I'm going to make another cycle, like, mentally and physically, I felt pretty beat up after London. And it's like I said, it took a year to figure out what was wrong with my knee, and we related it all to the back. And I dealt with a really great back surgeon who was did a lot of sort of testing with me and was able to figure it out and work with me to get it better. So that
did
was,
you end up having surgery?
I had more of a procedure. It wasn't a big surgery, but I had to shrink a disc in my back. But it wasn't like I wasn't cut open or anything. So he did the most minimally invasive thing.
Anytime you're talking somebody, minor surgery is only when they do it on somebody else. When they're doing it on you, that's not minor surgery.
Yeah, so I didn't race in 2013.
Right.
So, and that's where like British Triathlon were great. They said, you know,
take your time.
Take your year, you know, let's see what happens, rather than just sort of cutting me off and saying, you know, you're over.
Right.
They kind of gave me a bit of time to figure it out. And yeah, so I was glad. And 2014 was...
you had couple good races and a major foot injury.
Yeah, I know. There's so many injuries. That's just the story. Good races, injuries. Good races, injuries.
Yeah, 2016, injured with ankle.
Yeah.
But close to quitting.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I tore my plantar fascia, which was strange because all of our Rio Olympic team, we all tore our plantar fascias that year.
Really?
Yeah, and there was no relation. Like, we weren't doing the same training, we weren't doing the same thing, but we all tore our plantar fascias. So that was a bit of a strange one.
That is a strange one.
Yeah, so 2014 was good at the start, and then injured again. So that wasn't that successful.
Oh. And last year when I was in Chicago, Vicki Holland, Non Stafford, you've got a great group of women coming out of the UK. Can you guys all be friends and be competitive at the same time?
I mean, we're all pretty friendly, yeah. I think, especially like Non and Vicki, because they live together.
Exactly.
You know, they're best friends. And it's so I kind of think, what we do as a group of girls, we all get on really well. And I really love... That's what I love at the moment. So we go to a World Series. We've got six girls on the start list, and we'll do everything together for those sort of 4 or 5 days. We all go training together. Yeah. We go for dinner together, and that's a choice. We don't, you know.
You don't have to do that.
No, and we do enjoy each other's company. So that is really nice. I think that's, but it also pushes everyone on as well. You can't relax and think, you know, I don't need to push hard. You know, there's someone always trying to get your kind of spot in the team.
Well, especially when you're coming down the stretch at Rio and you've got Vicki and Non, and one of them's getting the bronze and one of them's getting fourth.
I know. That's really hard. And I just, because they're so close, I wish they could have almost shared that medal. I was not having the best day. I was miles back, and someone shouted as I was running towards the finish, "We've got bronze." And I'm like, oh my God, which one?
Who was it?
Got bronze. Yeah, and I was. Yeah, it's a tough one.
That is a tough one. So, but you, three Olympics, and you got 19th, and after dealing with injuries for the 3 years leading in, that's not bad.
It's not too bad. I mean, I didn't, 2015 was awful for me. I don't think I really had hardly any good races. Yeah. It was, Mark got pretty sick. He had, he's got a disorder with his blood that makes his blood clot. It's a genetic thing. And he had a pretty major blood clot that year. And so I think I spent half my time kind of stressed about him and not as focused on...
Which you should have been.
I wasn't as focused. Yeah. I mean, I was focused on triathlon. It's what I was doing, but...
Not quite the priority at that point.
Yeah.
Health
is what matters. If you're not doing it 100%, I don't think you get the results. And I'd say like 80% of me wasn't in the race. It was kind of somewhere else. So 2015 was pretty bad. So I started the start of 2016. I thought, I don't think I'm going to make the games, but I'm just going to give it my best shot. And I had some of my best races this year, but unfortunately for Rio, I ended up getting a virus the week before, and it just didn't happen on the day.
You know what? I talked to a few people, the Paralympics and Olympics, who got sick like the 10 days out or 7 days out.
Yeah, and I think mine was probably when I was on the way there, because the whole week before the race, I was like, I feel really hot. I'm just hot. And I woke up the morning of the race, like 2 in the morning, and I was just drenched in sweat. My heart rate was up, and I had diarrhea, and I got through the race, but any other day I just wouldn't have even gone out training.
No.
I felt so rough. But you know, it's the Olympics. You just do it, and you think, come on, you're all right, you're fine. And I think I convinced myself I was fine until a few, you know, it took a long time to get over. It took me a couple of months. I think I kind of ran myself into the ground a little bit, but I was in good shape beforehand. But yeah.
So now are you thinking 2020?
I think at this point I'm like, oh God, another 4 years. But I thought after this 4 years, I did think, you know, after 2016, it's been a rough 4 years.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to want to take a back seat, maybe do some racing just for fun. And I don't think I'll be thinking about a games, but I've had some of my best races ever this year. And probably the Gold Coast in April was my best race
now,
ever.
Is that where you qualified?
That's where I qualified and beat Gwen as well. So I've got to say I beat Gwen, because not many people do.
Well,
so
wait, and now, did you also beat her in a couple years earlier? That was like the last.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the last loss she had.
Yeah.
She won, 13 in a row?
Yeah. So,
and
yeah.
So, yeah, you sort of bookended.
That's what I'll just be famous for now, breaking the streak. So
I remember interviewing Julie Divins, and she was like, hey, you need to mention to Chrissy that she's lost twice and I beat her both times.
So I thought I'd be unmotivated, but I'm actually pretty motivated to keep racing, because I've enjoyed this year so much, and Mark's health's been good, and we've both been, I think, because I didn't expect to go to Rio, it was just a bonus. So I've just enjoyed this year so much. And like I said, we've got a great team atmosphere. Yeah. So I'd love to keep racing. I'm not definitely committing to 2020, but yes. I would love to keep racing for a few more years at the ITU stuff.
So any attraction to the 70.3 or the non-drafting?
I think 70.3 is the natural progression, because it's not, you don't have to change your training too much from Olympic to 70.3. I always really want to do Hawaii for like one day a year, and that's when I watch Hawaii. And then the next day I'm like...
You come to your senses and go, that's a really long
maybe
way.
Maybe not, but... I mean, I definitely see the attraction, but I still think I've got a bit more time at ITU. I've got, I still think I've got some more to do in ITU.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And especially since, you've knocked off Gwen. Nobody else has been able to do that. What makes her so special? Because she didn't really get into this until 2010, when she started.
I mean, she's done so well. I mean, it's... people say, you know, Gwen's weak on the bike, or she's weak at this, but she's improved so much. She's been in the sport a short time, and you know, she's just got that run that.
Yeah.
And I think what she probably doesn't. I mean, I don't know what Gwen does day to day, but she doesn't seem to get injured, and I think that's what a lot of people have to deal with, is that injury recovery struggle from that. So, I'd say that's what makes it. That's what made her be so consistent as well.
See, the hard part is when you're dealing with injuries, you're trying to get back to where you were.
Yeah.
When you're not dealing with injuries, you can improve.
Yeah.
You can, and here's where I am right now, and I can take a step up on the bike and a step up in the swim and step up in the run.
Yeah, and I think because she has been in the sport a short time, that curve has been
right.
so quick. Like, she's just improved very quickly.
It's also interesting that you can, I think she was, well, I interviewed her the other night. She was running like 30 miles a week leading into this marathon where she ran 2:41.
Yeah.
So I think that people don't realize the value of triathlon, that swim, bike, and run can, you can sort of do some of that anaerobic work on the bike and swimming and avoid the pounding of the running.
I mean, I've learned that the last few years as well because of my injury history. I always think I don't run that much compared to a lot of people. I think.
Right.
I mean, I normally go by hours, like time in hours,
right.
and I think the most I've got to this year was about 5 hours running. So
5 hours a week.
Yeah.
Which is probably about half of what the other folks are doing, if not less
than that. It's really not that much, but I've improved my biking a lot. I've improved my swimming. So, and you can get that exercise. Yeah, your heart doesn't know whether you're swim, bike, or running, does it? I mean, the muscles do,
they
but the heart and lungs don't, do they? So
aerobic work.
Yeah, so I can get that work in other ways.
So what's interesting to me is you've been doing this for a long time now, right? And does it get old? I mean, obviously injuries get old. That's not fun. But do you still love the training and the racing?
I do, yeah, and I'm kind of lucky. I've always enjoyed the training as well. I mean, I know athletes who just live to race and the training for them is really hard, but
yeah.
I enjoy the accomplishment of training and the improving and the, you know, ticking off of that process. But I wouldn't say I love racing that hour before the race. I'd rather be anywhere else that hour before the race. But
yeah.
You know, once the race gets going, and you know when you're in a group working on the bike together, you have a breakaway, and then you're running with someone on the shoulder and the tactics. I love that side of it. I find that amazing. And I love, you know, if you cross the finish line and you've done well, that sense of achievement, that all that work and the people that have helped you as well, because so many people put time and effort into me, you know, my physio and strength and conditioning and physiologists, sports, like, the whole, they put so much time and effort into you. And if you do well, it's so good for them.
It reflects on them too.
Yeah. And I love that. I like that, you know, they get something for, you know, the work they've
put
into me.
Their time and effort as well.
Yeah.
So when you look back over your career, what do you think, what race meant the most to you? Not necessarily, okay, this was my, I was fifth in London, but, you know, a race that really meant a lot to you personally.
There's a few. I think when I won my first world championships in 2008, and it was so unexpected, and I got away on the bike with Sarah Haskins, and I think I'll forever have a connection to Sarah from that race, where it was just.
Did you guys work together?
Yeah, it was just the two of us got away on the bike, and and I ended up out sprinting Sarah just in the last sort of 200 meters.
Yeah.
So we were together for, you know, 90 minutes of that race, and that was amazing feeling, that one. And then, and also, you know, there's been several, but the Gold Coast this year, I mean, I remember standing on the podium and they gave me the World Series leaders trophy.
Yes. Yeah.
And I actually thought, I at that moment, I was like, I never thought this would happen to me again from 2011.
Sure.
With all the injuries that had happened. I was like, so 5 years later, they gave that to me. I mean, I only had it for the one race. And the next race I didn't do.
But
yeah, and I was like, I actually didn't believe this was ever going to happen again. So that was really special. And that moment was like, yeah, this was worth kind of sticking with it.
Absolutely. Well, you've done the whole process. You started as a junior. You went through the junior process and had success there, then moved on to the elite level and won two world titles.
And I was a terrible junior as well. And I always think that, like,
you be a terrible junior?
Well, a terrible junior is kind of a world level. You know, you see, I don't think, especially for the girls, it's not important to be. You don't have to be that amazing junior. You just have to have the right attitude and a willingness to work. Cause
right.
It doesn't happen for a lot of girls until later on, you know. And then I think all of our Olympic team, none of us were ever, like, never did the juniors. Vicky Holland, I think she did one juniors and was almost last.
Yeah.
So I think it shows you don't have to.
You don't really have to come through. Well,
no.
If you look at Gwen, those guys,
exactly,
they got identified
as
swimmers and runners, and they taught them to ride the bike.
There's a lot of pressure on, like, the younger athletes. I'm like, oh, you know, don't worry about it. You know, you've you've got plenty of time. Just everyone improves at their own rate.
Do you see that there's been a lot of change in the way that, when I look at the men's side has changed tremendously in terms of the racing. Mm-hmm. The Brownlees and Gomez have really pushed the way that people ride the bike.
Yeah.
Does that happen on the women's side too, where the bike is really, it used to be swim, sort of ride together and run away, but the bike seems very, very tactical now and people are riding it like a criterium and attacking.
The bikes, it's definitely changed this year. I think Flora's had a massive influence there.
Interesting.
Our new world champion.
Yes.
She's so technically good on the bike, and the courses have got
a little more technical. Like added Rio more, was pretty technical, right?
Yeah, they've added like the more corners in. They've made the courses more technical. So I think you're adding in two aspects there. And Flora's really attacked it this year. And like in the Gold Coast, me, Flora, and Andrea Hewitt got away on the bike. And that probably wouldn't have happened a few years ago.
It wouldn't have happened because people wouldn't have attacked, or the course was more set up for someone to attack?
I think the course was set up for it this year. There was a lot of corners and there wasn't much straight for anyone to sit in, and you've got someone that is that much better. She's exposing the weaknesses of someone else, and I'm not quite as good as Flora and Andrea, but I was better than a lot of people
right.
who didn't make that break. So
yes.
Yeah, it has changed, and I think when you see it done once or twice, it gives the other girls that you see that it can be done. So I think a lot more people were kind of attacking the races later on and actually really thinking, you know, we don't have to wait for a run. We can do this on the swim and the bike.
Now, one of the things when I was interviewing Gwen about Rio, and we were talking about that course in particular with the steep climb, every lap, and the technical downhill. Did you feel that, would it, if you were healthy, if you weren't sick, was that a good course for you?
I think with the hill, I was riding really well on the hills and done a lot of work with the physiologists leading into it, and I'd improved my sort of power on the hills.
Yeah.
I think 20% or maybe more, 30. So we knew I was right ready for the course. And I mean, I haven't watched the race since. So I didn't really want to watch it afterwards. But from what the other girls have told me, I don't know if it would have done on the day. Olympics, sometimes people don't race it the same as they race an ITU race.
It's
There's
true.
A lot more at stake. And
yeah.
And everyone would have been watching Gwen as well, and Gwen was riding well. So I think
it was actually pretty tactical watching Nicola and Gwen, because Nicola was all over the road trying to, you know, get rid of Gwen, and Gwen yeah. rode like a bike racer.
Yeah, they. Gwen prepared. Gwen's so professional, and she prepared like she needed to for it. So. Yeah, it was. I mean, I wasn't. I only know from what I saw behind and what everyone else has said. But
With dealing with all the injuries, how has preparation for these races changed for you? With, you know, the fact that you've had to cut back on your running, do you consciously say, okay, I need to do more power work on the bike because I've got to ride better because I don't have the running miles in my legs?
Yeah, it's been. I mean, I learn every year. I think you learn from every injury, and I learn as I've got older what it takes to make me good.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done a lot more work with our physiologist this year, so everything.
Do more core work and things like that too.
And on the bike, so the powers and mm-hmm. everything's been a lot more specific. So that's really helped me this year, and I feel like that's improved. And so it's kind of that makes me excited about the next few years as well. Like. Even now, and I've been doing it since I was 18, and I'm 32 now, I'm still learning and what it takes to get me better. So it's such a big sport, triathlon. We've got 2 hours, haven't we, to race. So
exactly.
So much can go on in that 2 hours.
Well, and what the other thing is, there are a lot of other, besides the 70.3, there's, you know, Alcatraz, there's a lot of other fun experiences you can do that are, you know, not 5 hours or 4 hours, but other things that are 2 to 3 hours that still could be in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I would love to do Alcatraz. That's one of the ones that's on my kind of list that I'd love to do.
Well,
yeah,
we could set that up. If you want to do Alcatraz this
year, I need to get a time trial bike first. I've never really ridden a time trial bike properly.
Well,
so
that's
funny. Thing I need to practice.
We were in the Bahamas last week, and all the ITU girls, you know, Gwen and Flora and Katie, all had to ride time trial bikes. And could tell them, you know, I mean, Flora obviously rode really well on it, but everybody else was like, I don't think I like this that much.
I know. I think it's going to take a while to get used to, but it's something I'd like to do. I mean, I'd love Yeah, and I've enjoyed riding so much this year. Riding is my favorite. Running's my favorite out of the three, and I love to go for a run. And cycling is like, you want to go for a 4-hour ride? I'm like, not really.
Not really.
I have enjoyed it so much more this year. So I think because I've done a lot more of it, I felt stronger on the bike. So yeah, I'm kind of getting my head around it a little bit.
So what do you think your season will look like this year?
I'm not sure yet. I decided I didn't really want to make any plans till I go home in December.
That's so a good idea.
Yeah, it's been a tough 4 years. So I think I wanted to give myself a few months where I'm still training because I love training. And
right.
I think having a break from racing doesn't mean I have to stop exercising.
No, I love to get out.
It's
who you are and what you do.
Yeah, I think I've realized how much I love it as well. I love being outside and being training. So I'm just training with no goals at the moment. And when I get home in December, I'll actually start thinking about next year and what I'm going to do. If you want to make it through another 4 years, I've definitely got to have a bit of a break.
Of all these, when I look at some of the ITU venues, Hamburg, and there's some really cool places. What are some of your favorites?
Well, San Diego, obviously.
Yes.
I had such a good race here. I really enjoyed Chicago. I love coming to America to race.
It's a great place, isn't it?
Well, America,
in terms of the racing.
They love triathlon as well. It's,
yes.
It's got such a big following, and they're
big
so
history.
Passionate about it. I mean, London's always had great support at home, and Leeds this year I didn't actually get to race, but I went up to watch, and the atmosphere there was incredible.
And you've done that London triathlon where you won it in 2009. You're going back to 2003, 2004, 2005. You've done that a bunch. What makes that race special?
Race in London a lot, so I think it's always nice to race in front of a home crowd. My first ever World Cup podium was in front of a home crowd in Manchester as well, so that was pretty cool. But we're so lucky in triathlon. I've raced in some strange places that I never would have visited if I wasn't doing triathlon.
I think
that's it's a unique sport that's allowed me to travel all over the world. I'm so thankful that it's my job.
I loved being in Rio. I thought, there's all those horror stories beforehand, but it seemed, I love the people, and I thought the triathlon course was very unique, and right there in Copacabana, the crowds were big, right? It was a great place to race.
It was. There were big crowds, and it looked amazing. I mean, that beach was built for triathlon, wasn't
it?
It really was.
It's
the scenes. I think it was, out of all the events at the Games, I'm obviously a bit biased, but I thought it looked amazing. There were crowds, there was beach, beautiful ocean. It looked amazing. So, I mean, triathlon is a great sport, isn't it?
It's the best. It
showcases a lot of places without actually needing to build anything. You don't need to build a stadium or anything. You're showing off a city.
It's funny, speaking of showing off a city, the first ever Olympic triathlon in Sydney, the woman who produced the TV show had produced all the Ironman television shows. So when they were talking about how to showcase the city of Sydney with the Opera House and the bridge, she's like, let's start it with the triathlon, and we'll showcase the whole city with the triathlon. So women's triathlon was the first event of the Games.
I remember watching that. Sheila Tormina came out first and was like waving to people. I was a huge fan of Sheila. Sheila and Barb were, the big athletes when I first started ITU, and Loretta Harrop, and I remember watching
Keely
them.
And
yeah, I just remember watching them race and was like, oh, that's amazing.
And at that point, were you thinking Olympics? A little early.
Well, yeah, 2000, I was 16. I think, I started doing triathlon, so I had an interest and I was watching it. But I remember everyone on about, I wasn't following the sport, and everyone was on about Simon Lessing. I'm like, and then he was, I think he was 9th or 10th, and I was.
And Simon was the dominant guy in the world.
And everyone was like, Simon Lessing's going to win. So I was like, oh, Brit's going to win this. And,
yeah.
So
and
I remember
Simon
sitting
Whitfield
down to watch, and
it was Simon
Whitfield
win.
Yeah,
Simon.
It was a Simon. Yeah, and I love Simon Whitfield as well. So we met up with him a couple of years ago. His girlfriend at the time is from a town right by us.
And
he was in Wales at Christmas. We ended up going to meet Simon at Christmas, which is a bit random in Wales, but it's fun.
So you will stay in San Diego for a few more weeks?
Yeah, we're here until December.
Love that. And then December is the time you should be coming to San Diego, not leaving San Diego.
I know. I'm dreading going home already. It's going to be freezing.
Well, Helen, thanks so much for taking time and coming in studio. I love the fact that you're in San Diego and enjoying the training. It is the Mecca, and we're going to set up an evening with the Tri-Club of San Diego, November 16th. That's a Wednesday night, so we'll get everybody that information online. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Helen Jenkins has been our guest. Again, we're brought to you by OSCA Wellness, by Tough Man Tri, the series. Check out the 2017 series online. Run Catalina.com. Catalina Eco Marathon coming up Saturday, November 19th. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we've raised over $80 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville.com or on iTunes, and definitely subscribe to our newsletter. Until next time, remember, endurance lives here.